Ephesians chapter 5, let me begin reading in verse 1. I invite you to stand, please, this morning. We do want to honor God's Word, but also stretch our legs and just kind of make sure our blood's flowing good before I get into the message. Be ye therefore, verse 1, followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. It shouldn't even be spoken of. That's what the Bible says right there. All uncleanness, even covetousness, not be once named among you. That's pretty extreme, I understand that, but that's what God says. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting. Now that word jesting doesn't mean you can't ever joke. That what that means is you're joking about filthiness.
Amen.
Joking about foolishness, fornication, uncleanness, and you're laughing like it's something funny. God says that does not become saints. But you should be rather giving thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things, what things? All these things we just read, come the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Children of disobedience are those who are not saved. If you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then you are not a child of God, dear friend. That's not Bible. That's not sound doctrine. You're a child of disobedience, a child of wrath, a child of darkness, a child of Satan, even according to John chapter 8. Be in verse 7, be not ye therefore, notice, partakers with them. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. And can I tell you there, verse 7, as it stands out, that's going to be our text this morning, it stands out by itself as a verse, by itself saying, I do not want, God saying to you and me as saints, as children of God, I do not want you to participate with them in their disobedience, in their jesting, in their filthiness, in their uncleanness. Do not partake with them. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray you'd help me this morning, that your Spirit would take control of our service here. Lord God, that your Holy Spirit would move and overcome any unclean spirits, any opposition, God, to your word would be quenched, and your Spirit would not be quenched. Father, I plead the blood of Jesus here this morning. I pray for your perfect power, that you would fill me, you would fill this place and each one of your children with your Holy Spirit. I pray for the children's church as they minister to the kids, as they open up the Bible to those children. I pray, God, you would minister and work in their hearts as well. Lord, we want you to save the lost. We want you to encourage your children, your saints. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. God's people, let's read on here in verse 8. You were sometimes darkness. Now he's speaking to saints. Notice he says, but now that you're saved, now that you have Jesus, the light of the world, in your heart, you're now children, you're light in the world, in the Lord, excuse me, walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have, notice again, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of, what's that next word? Darkness. But rather, reprove them. That means to go ahead and tell them that it's wrong. See, we have this idea that we have to be always, let everybody push us around and tell us what to do and tell us what they think, and we're just supposed to be quiet. But God says to reprove them. God says to let them know why it's wrong. You know, because it's a shame in verse 12. It's a shame to the children of God, to Christians, to saints, even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. It's not funny. It's not funny to laugh about sin.
Right.
To laugh about darkness. God says, I don't want you to partake in it. I don't want you to even speak about it. I certainly don't want you laughing about it as jokes. As it's a shame, God says, to even talk of those things.
Right.
All things in verse 13 that are reproved. Reproved means discovered or made known. All things that are in darkness are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. In other words, God's saying, I put you in the world as children of light. Now, I want you to walk. I want you to live. I want you to talk. I want you to think. I want you to act as children of light. And that light is going to manifest what's in the darkness. That room in there has no light on in it, but and you can't really see all the details, but if it was, and I turn the light on, you can see it more clearly. It's light. It make manifest. It reveals what's in the darkness. Now, I want to take all of these thoughts and just briefly this morning really talk to you more than preach, more teach more than preach, but as the Lord leads, we'll do whatever God leads us to do. But everybody's heart and minds, unfortunately, right in this old world, are on one thing, and that's Halloween.
Amen.
Halloween. I mean, there's been parties all weekend. There's been cookouts, and there's been festivals, and there's been kids, and there's been adults, and the Day of the Dead, is that what they called it? The Day of the Dead. It was a festival here in your beloved Denton called the Day of the Dead. And folks, listen, you don't get much darker than death. That is the darkest you can ever get, spiritually speaking, is death. And God says in verse 7 to not be partakers with Him. Now listen, I just want to tell you where I believe God stands. I'm going to go over some of the history of Halloween. I'm going to go over some of my own personal testimony when it comes to Halloween. But God's people, listen, are children of light. We're to walk, we're to live, we're to behave as children of light.
Amen.
Everything about Halloween is darkness.
Amen.
It's darkness. Spiritual darkness. Okay? Evil men love darkness. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds are evil. They love darkness. Can I tell you, evil men love darkness. Evil men live and do their evil deeds in that darkness. And light reveals what's in the darkness. That's why they don't like it. I'm not your dad. I'm certainly not your any type of dictator. I'm just a pastor, and my job is to preach the Word of God. My job is to feed the flock of God, the people of God. My job is to help you understand where God stands on the issues that we face every day in this world. But, and right now, the issue on this world's mind is this thing of Halloween. So I just want to tell you from the Word of God a little bit about where God stands on this darkness of Halloween. Again, I told you we're not supposed to even speak of the things that they do in secret. The things that they do in secret, the things that they do behind closed doors, the things that they do in the darkness. We're not supposed to have any fellowship with them. Fellowship means I'm joining them. We're not supposed to have any fellowship with the unfruitful works in verse 11 of darkness. Unfruitful works means these are works that bear no fruit for the Lord Jesus Christ, that have no benefit at all for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The cause of Christ is what our desire and motive and driving force is supposed to be. The cause of Christ is that men and women, boys and girls, would come to the understanding that they're born in sin, that they're born and going to hell already condemned, and that they need Jesus Christ, and He's their only hope for salvation. That's our cause. That ought to be our cause. That ought to be our driving force as Christians.
Amen.
The only fruit that matters is fruit of souls that are eternal, being born and passing from death unto life, passing from darkness unto God's marvelous light. That's the only fruit that matters.
Amen.
God says, in darkness there is no profit at all. They're completely unprofitable. All they do is live, exist, eat, drink, and be merry. That's what I was thinking about the other day. As I was coming, I think, to church, I don't know, I guess it was yesterday, I saw barbecues and I saw people cooking out, of course, cars all over the place having parties for Halloween. Kids are all dressed up in their costumes, and I understand, listen, I know those kids have no idea what's going on. I know that. I understand that those children are just innocent and they're just getting candy, and I understand all that. But can I tell you, there's a lot more to understand than that.
Yeah.
Amen.
There's a lot more to understand than just the kids getting dressed up and getting some candy. There's a lot more behind this thing of Halloween. The Bible tells us that God is light. In 1 John chapter 1, the Bible says God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. No darkness at all. God is light. And then in verse 8 says, we were sometimes dark. We used to be. Amen. Before we got saved. But now that you're born again, now that you're a child of God, you're light in the Lord. Not because you're light, but because He's the light of the world. Amen? Jesus Christ, the light of the world, and He repels and reveals and helps us see what's in the darkness. And that's what the Bible is talking. We're to walk now as children of light. I'm to walk differently. I'm to behave differently. I'm to walk in newness of life. In light now. No more walking in darkness. I'm talking, you understand, spiritual darkness. Obviously, there's night times where I have to walk. Don't get too literal on me. But God's talking about spiritual darkness here and spiritual light. So I'm to walk as children of spiritual light. Light that doesn't think that darkness is funny. Light that doesn't think that darkness is no big deal. And you say, well, this is extreme, preacher. Listen, I'm not telling you what I think. I'm telling you what God says.
Amen. Amen.
I'm to walk in light. Verse 14 says, wherefore He saith, awake, thou that sleepest. Before, you were just sleepwalking through life. Are you listening to me? Awake, thou that sleepest. That means, listen, arise from the dead. In other words, you were dead in your trespasses and sins before you got saved. You were spiritually dark as you can possibly be. Dead. And I was too. All of us were. And God says, but I don't want you to stay in that darkness. I don't want you to stay in that spiritual sleep. He says, arise from the dead, and then I'll give you the light that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And then He says, now that you have that light, see then, verse 15, then since you're saved, see then that you walk circumspectly. That's a big word. But you know what it means? It's not as fools, but as wise. It means to walk carefully. Diligently.
Amen.
It means to walk exactly, precisely, not wandering around in the dark, but walking with purpose.
Yeah.
Purpose. I'm a child of the King. I'm a child of light. I have now purpose. I have direction. I have a reason for being saved. I have a reason for being here. I'm not just here. I'm not just wandering around. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs that before you got saved, you just wandered aimlessly in the dark, not knowing where you stepped, not knowing what you stumbled against. But God says, see then, though, that now you have light to walk circumspectly, to walk carefully, to be able to look. You can see where you're going now, so stop stumbling all over the things that you used to stumble all over in the dark.
Amen.
I mean, I don't know about you, but when I go for a walk, I don't want to stumble.
Amen.
I don't want to trip and fall. I don't want to step in a hole and break my ankle. I don't want to bend my knee, twist my knee. And God says, but you don't have to now. Spiritually speaking, you have light. You have the ability to walk circumspectly, to walk carefully and diligently, so you can see where you're going, so you can know what's going on around you. He says, so now walk circumspectly. Walk as children of light. Walk carefully. Walk with purpose. Redeeming the time in verse 16, because the days are evil. Darkness, folks, is evil. Spiritual darkness is evil. We have to walk circumspectly. We have to walk carefully. We can't waste time. We can't waste time. Jesus is coming again. We can't waste time letting darkness continue to control our minds and our thoughts and our walk. We have to be careful to redeem. The word redeem means to take advantage of every second of our lives to live and walk as children of light. Because the days are evil. The days are dark. Now, this walk that I'm talking about is a walk. In verse 1, in verse 2 it says, be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ who also hath loved us, and hath given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. The walk that I'm talking about, the walk in light, is a walk, number one, of love. Okay, verse 2, walk in love as Christ. But notice, He loved us, but He gave Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to who? To God. In other words, He loved God supremely. He loved God preeminently. He loved His Heavenly Father above all things. And that's the walk I'm talking about. He gave Himself for you and for me. He gave His life for our sins. He shed His blood to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, from all iniquity. I mean, thank God for it. We had no other hope.
Amen.
But now He says, now I want you to be there for followers and walk in love as Christ also walked in love. Yes, I love my neighbor. I love those that are around me. But listen to me. I love the Lord supremely, preeminently. And listen to me. Don't miss this point. I'm not going to continue to walk in darkness just because someone else is walking in darkness.
Amen.
That's not what the Bible says. I walk in love. I want them to be saved. I want them to be right with God. I want them to come out of the darkness into the light. Don't you?
Amen.
But God doesn't say to me to go walk in darkness with them.
Amen.
It doesn't say that. He doesn't say that I'm to go compromise the light and the salvation that He's given me and go walk in the darkness with them. I'm walking in love because I love the Lord. I'm walking in love because I love people. I love the Bible. I'm walking in love because I love my salvation. I'm walking in love because I love the sinner who needs to be saved. I'm walking as Christ. I'm following. Listen, I'm walking while also looking at Christ. Notice what it says. I want you to be therefore followers of God as dear children. Walk in love as Christ. I'm not just walking in love, but I'm also walking looking at Christ. Following His example. He is the light of the world. So the things that He did, the things that He didn't do, I'm patterning my life after Him.
Amen.
I'm being careful, circumspect. I'm being diligent that I don't take the steps that he didn't take, that I don't follow someone else that says they're him when they're not, that I don't go after chasing some other antichrist when there's a real living Christ. See, I'm being very circumspect because the world is full of smoke and mirrors. The world is full of counterfeit. The world is full of churches and Bibles that don't say what I'm preaching this morning, that don't stand up for truth, that don't walk in light, that don't separate themselves from darkness. And listen, whether you like it or not, Jesus is the light of the world. God is light, and there's no darkness in him at all. So if I'm going to stay right with him, I have to walk in light, and I have to follow his leadership in my life.
Amen.
I walk in love because I love him. I walk in light. I look at Jesus. But to walk in light is also, I want you to notice, leaving the darkness behind. Look in verse 3. But fornication. Okay, look, now let me read verse 2 to you, those of you who may not know what love is. Verse 2 says, walk in love. Are you there? Ephesians 5, verse 2. Walk in love. Notice verse 3. But fornication. So there's a distinct contrast there. Listen to me. Look up here for a minute. Fornication is not love.
Amen.
Amen.
Fornication is immorality.
Amen.
God says walk in love, but not in fornication.
Amen.
There's a distinct contrast made here in this verse, these two verses, that God is trying to tell us something. It's love the Lord God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, but do not walk in fornication. That's not love.
Amen.
That's lust.
Amen.
That's flesh. That's darkness.
Amen.
God says if you're going to walk in light, you're going to walk as Christ, you're going to walk in love, but you're going to walk leaving the darkness behind. In other words, you need to walk in purity.
Amen.
Amen.
Purity.
Amen.
That means keeping yourself sexually pure until you are married. And whether you like it or not, that's God's word. Are you listening to me?
Amen. Amen.
That's God's word.
Amen.
Walk in purity.
Amen.
Leaving the darkness behind. Darkness is fornication, uncleanness, immorality. Too many people are still walking in darkness after they get saved. It's not that you don't have the light, you're saved. It's not that you don't, maybe you didn't know any better. But that's why I'm called to preach the Bible. Because darkness, listen to me, leads to pain, stumbling, falling down, hurt, shame.
Amen.
Embarrassment. Disgrace. Humiliation. That's why God says don't even talk about it.
Yep.
You shouldn't be on Facebook talking about it.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
God knows what we need. God knows what's going to help us. God knows what's going to protect us. God knows this. He says, now you were sometimes darkness. He says, I understand that. I know that you were darkness, but now you're light.
Amen.
Amen.
So why do you continue to go walk in darkness? Darkness brought you nothing but heartache and shame and embarrassment. So he says, now though you're light, he says, why don't you try walking as children of light? Isn't it much easier to walk where you can see where you're going? Where you can see the potholes and avoid them? Where you can see the pain and go around it?
Amen.
Amen.
Makes sense to me.
Amen.
There is no reason for a child of God to walk in darkness. A walk in darkness is leaving my darkness, a walk in light, leaving the darkness behind. Walking in purity, verse 3. Fornication and all uncleanness. What uncleanness is he talking about? Anything that's not clean. God says, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. That means, listen to me, if that man is not your husband, don't touch him.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
If that woman is not your wife, don't touch her.
Right.
It's uncleanness.
Amen.
Like it or lump it.
God's
it's God's word.
Amen.
And you need somebody to tell you the truth. That's why we have a country like we do today.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Because nobody will stand up and preach the word of God.
Amen.
But the fact is, God is still going to keep preaching God's word.
Amen.
And he says, all uncleanness is all fornication. Don't even touch it.
Amen.
Young man, if that lady ain't your wife, you have no right to touch her.
Amen.
Young lady, if that man ain't your husband, you have no right to touch him.
Right.
You're walking in darkness. And purity is still godliness. Even in 2016, even in 2016, in America,
amen.
In America, even in America, before you start criticizing me and judging me like I have no idea what I'm talking about, you just need to back up a minute and understand something. My history and what's behind me in my life has nothing to do with the Word of God.
Amen.
This book does not change.
Amen.
Amen.
Try.
And by the way, neither does your past, neither does your history have anything to do. You're now saved.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm saved now.
Amen.
I did walk in darkness. Absolutely, absolutely. But so did you. But I'm saved now.
Amen.
I'm now a child of light. Listen, I can forget those things which are behind. Just because I did it, just because it used to be part of my life, doesn't mean that I'm not going to preach it. Doesn't mean that I'm not going to obey it. Because this is the reason I'm not there anymore.
Amen.
And the reason I'm not there anymore is the same reason you can be free from that darkness. Darkness is not your friend.
Amen.
A walk in light is a walk leaving the darkness behind, leaving impurity, fornication, uncleanness behind. It's a walk in, listen, perfect contentment. Look in verse 5. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of God, Christ and of God. The covetous man in the middle there is what I want to talk to you about. Whoremonger, an unclean person, that's still that impurity. But then he goes over to covetousness. Covetousness, he says, is idolatry. Now, a covetous man is never happy.
Right.
Pay attention now. A covetous man is never happy.
Right.
He always wants something that everybody else has. He always wants more, bigger, better. And God says that man is nothing more than an idolater who's living for that idol that he's got in his mind, his eyes on. That bigger, that better, that more. And God says that that person is never content.
Yeah.
That's right.
Right.
Hebrews chapter 13 says, be content with such things as you have.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. But see, what coming out of covetousness, in other words, is darkness.
That's right.
Always wanting more is still darkness. God knows we have need of such things. God knows what we need. God will provide, supply our needs.
Amen.
But he says, But come out of the darkness of always wanting more and living for more, because you just make yourself an idolater. You're going after other gods, little g gods that cannot satisfy, that cannot make you happy, that cannot fulfill anything. And it's darkness. It's, by the way, it's what the world chases after every day.
Right.
And God says, come out of that darkness and walk in light. You can have perfect contentment in your life. You can be content. Godliness with contentment is great gain, the Bible says.
Amen.
Amen.
A walk in light is a walk leaving the darkness behind. It's a walk in purity. It's a walk in perfect contentment. We're all prone, aren't we? Prone to lift up our eyes and start chasing after something that doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's right.
We are. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not talking about our needs. God knows we have needs. If you need a job, then you need a job. If you need a different job, you need a different job. But listen, but don't set your heart on those things. Set your affection on things above.
Amen.
Not on things of this earth. You are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God.
Amen.
So walk as children of light. Don't walk in impurity anymore. Don't walk in that always chasing after those other. Walk in perfect contentment. You can be content.
Amen.
You believe that. I mean, if you don't believe that, then God can't help. But God wants you to have peace.
Yeah.
Number three, it's a walk in peace. I want you to understand something. You don't have peace in the darkness because you don't know what's coming next.
That's right.
Look in verse 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words. Because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. There's no peace to the wicked. No peace unto the wicked. Those that walk in rebellion against God, they have no peace. The wrath of God is right there. The condemnation of God. They have no peace. But in the light, listen, in the light, you can finally have peace.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, you can look around and you can see you're safe.
Amen.
You can look around and you can see, hey, look, I've made progress.
Amen.
You can look ahead and see, look where I'm going.
Amen.
And have peace. Instead of always worrying about, well, I know I'm not supposed to be doing this, and constantly paranoid, uh-oh, God's going to get me now. Well, you know, God's not out to get you.
Amen.
God's not out to get us.
Amen.
Not, we're children of God. He's not out to get us, but He does chasten us.
Amen.
He does. When he says, spare not the rod, when he says, do not, he says, train up your child, and then he says, the rod of correction shall drive the foolishness from their hearts.
Amen.
What he's talking about is discipline.
Yes.
Good old-fashioned spankings.
Amen.
Old-fashioned spankings. I heard Brother DeShazo preached on old-fashioned Christianity, amen, Wednesday night.
Amen.
I'm looking forward to listening to it on the recorder. I ain't got a chance to yet. But old-fashioned spankings, listen, God doesn't tell us to do anything that He's not willing to do.
Amen.
So if He tells us to spank our children, that's the discipline that He uses. Now, not literally with a rod, but with the rod of correction.
Right.
His rod, His shepherd's rod.
Amen.
His shepherd's rod. But see, if you walk in darkness, you're constantly wondering, uh-oh, my Father's going to discipline me. Do you remember when Mom used to tell you, just wait till your dad gets home? You weren't looking forward to that. You weren't looking forward to seeing Dad. Why? Because you've been walking in darkness.
Amen.
Do you not have any peace in your heart? You're just, oh Lord God, would you please stop. And you're dying. Inside, there's no peace. There's no contentment. You're just waiting for punishment. God is faithful, folks.
Amen.
The Bible says if you don't get chastised, if you don't get chastened, if you don't get disciplined as His child, then you're not His.
That's right.
So if you say, well, preacher, I sin all the time and God never does anything to me, you better check real hard on your salvation. Because
yeah.
God says if He doesn't discipline you, you're not His.
Yeah.
However, I know those of us that are saved, when we walk in darkness, when we do things and live and walk where we're not supposed to, we know punishment's coming, discipline's coming.
That's right.
They say, well, we run to God and we confess. And yes, we can. We can. But you know, we could spend a lot more time doing things that are profitable than constantly confessing our sins all the time because we keep walking in darkness.
Amen.
God says if you confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from... But listen, it would help us. We're supposed to remember, redeem the time.
Amen.
We're supposed to live our lives constantly having to confess sin because we keep walking in darkness. That's all I'm trying to say. You could have a lot more profitable things we could be doing.
Amen.
Not just that, but we'd have peace. We'd have perfect contentment. We'd have a heart of fulfillment. And we'd be able to see where we're going, make progress, and not walk in fear. Walking in the light. Verse 7 again, and I'm just going to close. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. What? Anything that has to do with the darkness, the spiritual darkness of this world. Many Christians celebrate holidays, such as Halloween, without thinking about where they came from. You cannot separate Halloween from where it came from. Several hundred years before Christ, the Celtic priests, which were called Druids in France, Germany, England, Scotland, Ireland, they were eventually conquered by the Romans. But we have information about them from Caesar and Roman historians and Greek writings from around 200 BC. Very early records found in Ireland. Greek and Roman writings about these Druids, these priests, dwell heavily on their frequent and barbaric human sacrifices. The ancient Irish texts say a little bit about human sacrifices, but they detail the Druids' use of magic. Folks, witchcraft and magic is evil.
Amen.
It's evil.
Amen.
Harry Potter is evil.
Yeah.
Amen.
It's darkness.
Amen.
The ancient Irish texts say a little about it, but they detail the use of magic to raise storms, curses, laying curses on people. That's witchcraft. You say, is that real? Listen, folks, what you maybe don't understand is Satan is a real spiritual power.
Right.
But it's all very dark.
You're right.
Rulers of darkness in this world. They kill people by the use of spells. They create magical obstacles. A 16th century writer who traced his family back to these priests. Oh boy. Clearly describes the human sacrifices of his ancestors and the secret sacrifices still performed regularly by the Druids of this time. By 47 AD, Rome finally defeated the Druids in Britain, and they outlawed human sacrifices, but so they went underground. They went in secret. Today, a growing group of people claiming to be of direct descent still practice their religion, including human sacrifice. Those in England still perform ceremonies of human sacrifice. October 31st was celebrated by the Druids, these Celtic priests, with many human sacrifices and a festival honoring their sun god and Samhain, the Lord of the Dead. They believed that sinful souls of those who died during the year were in a place of torment and would be released only if Samhain was pleased with their sacrifices. Sounds a whole lot like Catholic purgatory, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Which, by the way, it doesn't exist, not in the Bible.
Right.
Irish records tell of the fascination the Catholic monks, now listen, the Catholic monks had with these powerful Druids. These Druids soon became important members of their monasteries. But listen, Pope Gregory the Great decided to incorporate the Druids' holiday into the church, the Catholic Church. He made the proclamation, they're no longer to sacrifice beasts to the devil, but they may kill them for food to the praise of God and give thanks to the giver of all gifts for His bounty. So the Catholic Pope Gregory III moved the church festival of October 31st to November 1st and called it All Saints Day. My birthday. Anyway, but Pope Gregory IV, however, decreed that the day was to be a universal church observance. The term Halloween comes from All Hallows Eve or All Sacred Eve, the eve before All Saints Day. Listen to this though. The founding fathers of America refused to permit the holiday to be observed. Because it was a pagan holiday. Thank God for somebody with some backbone. Halloween was not widely celebrated in the U.S. It got back in, though, listen, until about 1900. In the 1840s, listen, here's how it got back in. There was a terrible potato famine in Ireland, which sent thousands of Catholic Irish to America. Guess what they brought with them? Halloween. The modern custom of going door to door asking for food and candy goes back to the time of the Druids. They believed that sinful, lost souls were released upon the earth by Samhain, that god of theirs, for one night on October 31st while they awaited their judgment. They were thought to throng about the houses of the living and were greeted with banquet-laden tables. People greatly feared these spirits, and they thought the spirits would harm and even kill them if the sacrifices did not appease Samhain. So it's trick or treat. You give me a treat, or you're going to get harmed by this god. And now, listen, I tell you, I know, again, I know children are just innocent. I know all that. But we as their parents are responsible for what they do. Let's listen. I know kids aren't doing this on purpose. I'm not that ignorant. But they, listen, they carve demonic faces into pumpkins or large turnips, and they placed a candle in them to keep the evil spirits away from their homes. Very little archaeological evidence of the Druids have been found, but they agree between the Roman and the Irish documents. Then they both clearly state the knowledge of the Druids was never committed to writing, but passed from generation to generation by oral teaching. They didn't want it in writing to protect their secrets. In his writings, however, this man, Davis, who tracked his family back, indicates he came under much persecution by his family for putting in writing his information. The same is true today. Nothing is put into writing. The Druids continue on secretly with the same traditions. Here's a former witch high priest who's now a Christian. Here's his testimony. I was astonished at how many Christians let their kids celebrate Halloween. Some churches even sponsor haunted houses and similar events on what is the number one satanic holiday of the year. Halloween used to be called Samhain and still celebrated as an ancient pagan festival of the dead. I mean, that's why they have a festival of the dead. I mean, they're not even ashamed of it anymore. By witches all over the world. Witches. Still witches today? Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately, just giving the date a holy name, like All Hallows Eve, doesn't change its character. I can change your name to Jim Bob Joe Susan, but you're still going to be the same person.
That's right.
Right? Halloween is an occasion when the ancient gods, demons, are worshipped with human sacrifice. 1 Corinthians 10:20, don't just listen, it says, "But I say the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils." This is in the Bible. 1 Corinthians 10:20. "The Gentiles sacrifice to devils and not to God. I would not that you should have fellowship with devils." If you're a Christian parent, God has given you a precious responsibility. Remember, their ability to resist, your children's ability to resist spiritual wickedness is much less than yours. They're just innocently out there having fun, but they don't understand. I'm going to give you here in a minute something else. If you allow your children to participate, you're allowing them to play on the devil's turf. You say, "Well, they're just innocent. They don't know what they're doing." No, but you need to know what's going on. You're opening doorways into their young lives. You're opening, the Bible says not to give place to the devil. Why do you think the Bible says that? Because he'll take it if you give it to him. We're commanded here in Ephesians 5, I just read to you, not to be involved with the unfruitful works of darkness. And this man is speaking personally. He used to be a witch, a high priest. Now he's saved. "From my experience as a witch and since getting saved as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I have seen too many examples of how breaking this command works out in lives." Remember, While we have God's promise of protection for ourselves and our children, that promise may not hold true if we allow our children to celebrate this dark holiday, if we give Him place. Case after case has come to us of children in rebellion.
Yeah.
Where does that rebellion come from? Well, it could come from any number of places, but I'm trying to help you eliminate one of them.
Amen. Amen. Yeah.
In many of these families, listen, the problem can be traced back to the children being exposed to Halloween at a young age. It's hard enough to raise children these days in a godly manner without exposing them to Satan's realm. And I told you I was going to give you, listen, I grew up participating in Halloween. And many of you did too. You say, well, I can't sit here and tell you specifically, place my finger on, well, this is what, but when I got out of the house, listen, I was way more rebellious than I should have been, let's put it that way. I knew better. No, I can't tell you that it was just because, and I'm not trying to say that, I know that. There could have been any number of things. But it could have been this too. I can't prove it to you, but you can't disprove it. And we know that this has caused problems, documented, in other families and other children's hearts and lives.
Amen.
Church, all I'm trying to say to us is that we're not supposed to have any fellowship.
Amen.
That means we're not to be partakers. Verse 7 says, be ye not partakers with them.
Amen.
I'm not supposed to be around and hang around and do the things that they do. Especially when we have the knowledge and the understanding of where this comes from.
Yes.
Our forefathers said, not in this country.
Right. Amen.
You know what they did? They decided, we're going to walk in light.
Amen.
We're going to walk in light. And then the devil got his claws back in there and brought back the darkness. You have a choice today. You have a choice today. Obviously, I can't tell you what to do. It's your family. It's your life. I'm just here to tell you what the Bible says, what the history of this so-called holiday is. You make the decision based on your own family. It's your responsibility. But think about what I preached. Think about what God has to say about darkness and light. Think about what everything that's done in Halloween is. They wait until it's dark.
Yeah.
I mean, I know I used to go trick-or-treating. You don't go before dark.
Yeah.
Why? Because it's of the realm of darkness. That's where it comes from. That's the source of it. If you didn't know this before, I'm not condemning you. Now you do know. Now you can make some changes.
Amen.
That's all. That's all I'm trying to do. Let's bow for prayer. Father, I pray you'd help us this morning. Lord, I pray you'd help us understand, God, that you knew about Halloween way before we did. You knew about darkness way before we did. You knew about evil way before we ever did. God, in children's innocence, we know that maybe they don't get harmed, Father, but we know that the spiritual wickedness in high places is after this next generation. He's always going to try to get the children because they're the future of our country. So Lord, this morning I pray that you would help your people to understand, God, that there is a real spiritual darkness in this world. But Father, we're not part of that realm anymore. We're not part of that sphere of shame and guilt and harm and pain. God, help us to walk in love as Christ. We love you preeminently. We do what we do, Father, unto you. We walk as we look unto Christ, our model, our example, and we walk as we leave darkness behind in purity. In perfect contentment and peace. God, help your people to realize that you're trying to give them peace. You're trying to give their hearts and their minds and their lives and their homes peace that maybe they've never had before. And God, this might be the reason, Lord, help them to understand, God, that You're the God that loved them and saved them, that can and will deliver them from this darkness. I pray You bless this invitation now, this morning. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I'm going to ask you, please, no one looking around. I don't know where you're at on Halloween. That's not my business. My job is just to preach the Bible. But also understand that darkness is of the devil. Hell is a very dark place. The hottest flame, scientists have proven this, but it's already in the Bible. The hottest flame is a flame that's pitch black. The flames of hell are burning so hot that it's utter darkness. If you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, see, there is no light. The only light we have is the light in the Lord, the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of salvation. The only way we can have light is through Jesus. I walked in darkness for many years until I was 34 years old. But God brought me out of darkness and put me in His marvelous light. And I battle that darkness every day just like everybody else. But you today, my friend, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't have any light. All you know is darkness. You can come out of that darkness this morning and come to Jesus. He's calling you this morning. He's calling you out of that darkness into His marvelous light. He's calling you out of condemnation into salvation. You say, preacher, today, I don't know if I died. I don't know that I would go to heaven. I don't really know for sure, without a doubt, that if I died right now, that I'd go straight to heaven. Well, friend, listen to me. I do, because God gave me that assurance when He saved me on May 13th in 2004. I know I'm going to heaven. I have that confidence and assurance in my heart. Not because of me, but because I trusted Jesus Christ. I simply want to offer you the invitation this morning. Let me pray for you. Can I pray for you? You say, preacher, I'm not sure that if I died right now that I'd go straight to heaven. But I know I don't want to go to that darkness for all eternity. Would you pray for me? Would you let me pray for you this morning? There's nobody looking around. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Would you just slip your hand up quietly, put it right back down, say, pray for me, thank you, thank you. Anyone else would say, preacher, I'm not sure that if I died that I'd go to heaven. Would you pray for me this morning? Does anyone else just slip your hand up, put it right back down? I want to pray for you. Our Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord, for these hands. Lord, I pray, Lord, that, Lord, You know the hearts. I can't see their hearts. But Lord, if they're not saved, their hearts are black in spiritual darkness. They're without Christ. They're without hope. They're without light. All of their lives have been darkness. But oh God, tonight or this morning, You can bring them out of that darkness. You can bring them out of that darkness into Your glorious, marvelous, saving light. I pray, God, that You would work in their hearts, that You would draw them to Jesus this very morning. That there would be no more hesitation, no more delay, no more putting it off. That they would come to Jesus, Father, once and for all. I pray for Your children, Lord, those that have been saved. Thank God for them. I thank You, Lord, and Lord, for this Bible and these truths. Lord, help us, Father, to walk in light. Help us, Father, to mix and mingle ourselves with those that are light, so that we might be safe, at peace, in Your shelter. Lord, bless this invitation, please, I pray.